Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
To you all, our listeners all over the world. This is Dr.'s Round again on Spirit of Nigeria Radio and our sister radio in Ibadan, Live Radio, covering all your state. This radio station gives positive energy, positive Nigerian narrative, and we celebrate Nigerians in the diaspora all over the world. Today, we're back on Doctor's Round. This is a program in collaboration with Transforming, Uplifting, and Reforming Nigeria. Turn. My name is A.G. Ahmed. And as usual, we have a guest speaker in the house. We'll be asking a lot of questions about a very important topic. But before then, we live in a country with an estimated population of about 2 million people. With that population, Nigeria is the largest country in Africa. It has the second highest number or density of medical doctors in West Africa. Yet, our healthcare service is not meeting the needs of Nigeria. In fact, it's the lowest. Government expenditure on health is low, with only 3.9% of GDP invested in the health sector, which is grossly below average if you compare it to other OEC countries. Although there was an increase in 2018, this is also very minimal. Now, although Nigeria is also positioned as an emerging economy belonging to the lower middle income, Nigeria relies heavily on the private sector for its healthcare need. In 2019, it was estimated that a Nigerian who lives in the urban area spent about 6% of his income on health, of household income on health care. And this is higher for the Nigerian who lives in the rural area. Access to medication is prohibitive. Infrastructures outdated, healthcare workers are dissatisfied and are leaving the country. In 2021, the expectancy at birth in Nigeria is 60.87 years, with male, unfortunately, being at 59 years and female at 63. In other words, a child born in Nigeria this year, we die earlier than a child that is born in some other African countries, in fact, most African countries, and certainly compared to other parts of the world. Over the past two decades, one factor that has been identified as very important in healthcare service delivery has been lack of coordinated response. And this factor is a major pitfall in healthcare policy. The question that comes to mind is that has the current policy clarified the roles of various aspects of the government or tiers of the government? What are the roles and responsibility of the government? What is the role of the private sector? Lots and lots of questions. Today on Dr. Strand, we're focusing on the drivers of Nigeria health system. We will be focusing on the policy framework and the necessary reforms for better performance. And to assist us in doing this job is a public health physician, Celestine Okori. He's a graduate of that university again, the best university in Nigeria. Some people want to disagree with me, but Toyin can keep quiet. This is my show. He's a graduate of ABU. He had postgraduate training in the United States of America, where he obtained a Master of Public Health and Global Health Leadership from New York University. He has a Master's of Business Administration in Health System Management from University of Massachusetts. He has had international experience working in the United States of America, Switzerland, and Liberia. In Nigeria, he worked as a policy expert at the European Union and as a consultant to the World Health Organization. He is currently the executive director of the Health Reform Foundation of Nigeria, HEFR, which is Nigeria's leading non-governmental organization with a focus on analyzing health sector's reforms and improving health outcome in Nigeria. With that resume, you agree with me, dear listeners, that Dr. Okori is in the best position to answer some of the burning questions. Dr. Okori, welcome to Doctor's Round.
Thank you, A.G. Ahmed. Thank you very much.
It's been a while, eh? I'm not going to say it on the air, but it's been a while since we last met. Welcome.
Really, long while indeed.
You look good.
Yes. Excellent. I am.
Okay. Before we get to the business of the day, LJ Daddy is somewhere in the house and he's going to tell you his experience and what his concerns are. LJ Daddy, good afternoon or evening.
Hello, sir. Hello. International daughter of Massachusetts, Switzerland, and Liberia, and Africa. My name is LJ Daddy, Lasisi Jacob. They call me LJ Daddy. Please, sir, please help us. In my village, there is no hospital. And when I moved from the village to the big city, there are many hospitals in the area. There is small clinic, general hospital, teaching hospital, specialist hospital, private hospital, international hospital. In fact, some of the hospital only for rich people like my oga. Other hospital, clinic, for we Okada people. Some people go to, you know, native doctor because they can't pay for all these big hospital. Other people go to prayer house. Doctor, in our village, there's no doctor at all. There's one nurse. If I tell you about my sister traveled one whole day to come out to the hospital. She sleep near the gate of the hospital, said they can see her, will be seen quickly. After they see the doctor and the nurse, they say she should go to pharmacy to pay. She pay 1 month of farm money. 1 month of farm money she pay for the medicine and treatment and travel. It's too much, doctor. So why some place have big hospital? Another place have small hospital. Some place, no hospital at all. Doctor, poor people just die like that. Oh. Please, doctor, help us. Why don't we have a hospital in our village? Maybe you can help us. Thank you, doctor. Thank you, sir. This is AJ Daddy, Lazizi Jacob. Thank you. Thank you, doctor.
Thank you, LJ. There you are, Dr. Okoro. What do you think is going on?
Yes, AJ, there is poor access to healthcare services in Nigeria. And there's a lot of disparity, inequality, even in the distribution of the healthcare services in the country. Ordinarily, we are supposed to have our primary healthcare system. Part of the driving policy behind the primary healthcare systems is that every political ward is supposed to have a primary healthcare center that is supposed to address, you know, the healthcare needs of people living in that, you know, political ward, and then meet their healthcare needs, you know, at the primary level. Yeah. And then there should be a referral system whereby every local government should have a secondary healthcare facility, so that from the primary, all these primary healthcare centers, the people should be referred to the secondary facility. And then every state should have a tertiary healthcare center now, so that also cases that cannot be handled at secondary level are now referred. So we have hospitals, you know, in all the local governments planned, secondary healthcare centers and federal medical centers in all the states now that are supposed to provide tertiary services in addition to teaching hospitals. You know, that is the policy framework that is in place, but the implementation has not been it has not been.
It hasn't been well coordinated. Can you hear me? I think we're having some difficulty. Can you hear me? While we're waiting for Dr. Okoro to join,
So you find a number of community centers that where you can go care services, you know. Hello?
Yeah.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Okay. So we have a situation where the urban areas, the urban centers have a concentration of hospitals, both government hospitals and private hospitals, you know, of various types, you know, and categories are all in the urban areas. Whereas these rural areas where a lot of our people live, in fact, about 60% of our people, 70% are living in the rural areas. They don't have access to basic healthcare services, which should have been provided by these primary healthcare centers. That's an anomaly, and one of the anomalies that the policy system is working very hard to correct.
Thank you very much. I think that's a good introduction to what we're going to be talking about today. What Lazizi Jacob was describing relates to this disparity and inequity in the distribution of healthcare service. We have larger rural population, yet the healthcare service is concentrated in the big city. And that is an extra cost, as we've indicated. But before we go on, can you tell us about your organization, the Health Reform Foundation of Nigeria? What's this all about?
Yes, actually, sometime in year 2000, the World Health Organization, they did what was like an assessment of all the health systems of all the countries in the world. That was the year 2000. And Nigeria, they placed Nigeria they ranked Nigeria number 187 out of 191 countries then. There are more countries now, but our ranking was 187 out of 191. You can imagine, we are almost the last. Even among poor nations and developing countries, our healthcare system was very dismal in that particular assessment carried out by the World Health Organization in year 2000. Now, that provoked a lot of, people started getting very worried about the Nigerian health system and said, look, this health system is not performing. And a number of countries tried to help, particularly the United Kingdom, the UK, through their DFID, the Department for International Development. They set up what you call the Change Agent Program in 2001, which was supposed to train a core of Nigerian healthcare professionals and those in the Ministry of Health, train them on how to reform and change the Nigerian health system for better performance. They called this program they set up in 2001, they called the Change Agents Program.
Yep.
So that Change Agents Program, trained quite a number of change agents across the country, on healthcare, what to do about reforming the Nigerian health system. But then the program closed in 2004. Change Agents Program closed in 2004 and transformed to a Nigerian-led, an indigenous-led program called Health Reform Foundation of Nigeria. So we trace our origin from the Change Agents Program.
Yeah.
Yes. And the Change Agents Program from 2004, this group of reform-minded Nigerians came together to put together an organization that will work towards catalyzing healthcare reforms in Nigeria and improving the health outcomes, because everybody now believes that something has to be done. And then, particularly driven by the private sector, not necessarily by the government. That's why it is an NGO, non-governmental organization, membership-based organization, and non-profit, organization. We have chapters in all the 36 states of Nigeria. We have membership, across people in the civil service, in the public service, in the private sector, various disciplinary background, who are interested just with common interest of improving the Nigerian health system. So from that 2014 till now, Health Fund has been very much active in driving health sector reforms. In fact, Health Fund played a very important role in drafting the National Health Act, okay, 2014. And the Health Fund also navigated it through the National Assembly legislative processes for 10 years, from 2004 until 2014, when it was enacted into the National Health Act, when the bill was enacted into law. So essentially, the National Health Act 2014 is actually a flagship program of HEFOM. Thank you very much.
Excellent. That is a very good introduction. So you're very familiar with the National Health Act, and we'll be asking you some more about that. So basically, you are focusing on policy reforms and you have representation. Can I confirm, you have been, although you were the payer, let me just use that word, was United Kingdom, WHO, now is the responsibility of the government? Is that it?
No, actually, it's just like we were being funded actually by the DFID until not too long ago.
Okay.
They were funding the fund for 10 solid years, supporting our programs and providing funding. So we are like a quasi, actually, between the Federal Minister of Health, the Federal Minister of Health and the DFID, we are just a baby from the two organizations.
Does your organization set up performance indicators? Health performance indicator.
Yes, we have a number of performance indicators that that are driving our programs and towards improving the health sector reforms, you know.
Interesting. Can you then give us your sense of the Nigerian health system and how it functions? You know, just simplistically, the health system, how does it really function?
The Nigerian health system is you can look at it from the perspective of three different systems, past components of a system. One is the primary healthcare system. Primary healthcare, just like I said, which is the first point of entry into the Nigerian health system. Then there is a secondary healthcare system, and there is a tertiary healthcare system, which is essentially specialist, providing specialist care. So between the primary, secondary, and tertiary healthcare systems, the three tiers of government, you know, assume responsibilities. Like the tertiary healthcare system is being provided by the federal government, you know, federal government. The state governments provide, you know, the secondary healthcare, look after the secondary healthcare system. Whereas the local governments, you know, are supposed to support the primary healthcare systems. All these are changing, though. A number of changes now are taking place because the local governments, you know, could not manage the primary healthcare system successfully. So right now there is a policy change that is, you know, putting them together for the state governments to manage, you know, together with the local governments. You know, so you can look at it from that perspective as a entire healthcare system, second, primary, secondary, and tertiary.
How well are they working together? Because you segment them. As far as Lasisi Jacob is concerned, or AG Ahmed is concerned, and Borno local government, I don't know, it doesn't matter. How well do these work together? So I've got Council of the Liver or whatever, and you're sending me from Borno to Kaduna or wherever. How do they work together?
Yes, there is actually supposed to be very good coordination in these three tiers. And the main key for the coordination is supposed to be a referral system that should be very efficient and very functional. But this is, of course, the implementation has been very poor across the whole country. Because if somebody is sick in the village, like Major Daddy was talking about, he's supposed to go to his primary healthcare and, you know, center that is near to him. You know, it is so designed that these primary healthcare centers, when you are looking at access to care, you are looking at availability and affordability. Availability means you're not going to travel, you know, long distance that is outside the before you can access healthcare services. It should be available at the level of the political world. Then affordability, of course, has to do with financial wherewithal. So what I'm saying is that our referral system is not working well, so there is lack of coordination. That one is apparent, you know, and there's also fragmentation of services among these three levels, and it's causing quite a lot of problems. But with the policy, these are areas where healthcare reforms are trying to address. Thank you.
You're listening to Dr. Zoran on Spirit of Nigeria Radio and Life Radio on 107.5 FM in Oyo State. This is a program in partnership with Turn Nigeria. And we're in a talk with Dr. Okori. Can you comment, you mentioned it briefly, can you spend some time to explain to listeners the National Health Act? what does that make? What is the purpose of the National Health Act?
You see, there before, prior to 2014, in the Constitution of Nigeria, you know, and even in the laws and all that, the health has never taken a prominent place.
Mm.
Not at all. And there was no single law that was supposed to regulate the entire health system. So the National Health Act is the first law that that provides a framework for the regulation, management, and development of the Nigerian health system, including also setting of standards, you know, for healthcare providers and even both the private and public sectors, and even for traditional practice also.
Oh,
yes, the regulation, the development of and the management of the Nigerian health system. It provides a framework, and the purpose was essentially to develop the health system and aim towards a universal healthcare coverage, so that every Nigerian would have access to healthcare services without financial hardship. Without financial hardship, if I should explain it better, financial risk protection. You know, so it was part of the aim of the National Health Act. But of course, it's the first legal framework that exists that for the Nigerian health system. Thank you.
Before we go on break, which we'll be doing in a few minutes, I'd like you to comment on how user-friendly this act is. And if LJ Daddy did not get the care that he requires in his local government, who is responsible? Can I sue somebody for breaching the act as a citizen?
Yeah, well, of course, just like I said, it's a law now. It's no longer a law that must be obeyed. If you don't obey the law, you can be, there's a penalty, you know, that is there prescribed in the act, you know, for people who don't, if the law is not implemented. But essentially, it is very useful law because there are seven sections, but one of the sections, you know, section one in particular, talks about the Basic Healthcare Provision Fund.
Mm-hmm.
This Basic Healthcare Provision Fund is essentially that Nigeria, the federal government, should set aside 1%, not less than 1%. So it could be more. We could ask for more, but they said not less than 1% of the consolidated revenue of the country should be set aside for the provision of basic health care, or what you call basic minimum package, health package for all Nigerians. So it is actually supposed to be provide the seed money that, or the money funding that should, you know, lead all Nigerians to having universal health coverage. So the every year now, 1% of the consolidated revenue of the country is set aside, and it's set aside for running mostly primary healthcare services, mostly providing funding for women, children, elderly care, you know, for vulnerable population, to make sure they have access to healthcare services without financial burden. Thank you.
And is the government doing that now? Are they setting up, what percentage are they setting up of this gross income? What
percentage? Yes, in fact, they are still implementing 1%. This law was passed in 2014, but due to many reasons, you know, it was only, they started the implementation in 2019.
Wow.
You know, but the government is talking quite seriously about making the funding available now. It's by law. The government can't make a law and not carry out the law which has been passed So right now, 1% of the consolidated revenue is set aside as basic healthcare provision fund, which is distributed to all the states of the country and for running primary healthcare centers, particularly providing healthcare services for the vulnerable population in the country.
Thank you very much. When we come back from the music break, we will be looking at what your recommendation will be for a better performance. You've set the stage for us clearly, but let's take some music and we'll be back shortly. Well, I must make a confession. I love high life music, and when Rex Lawson is, I may even forget to do my job. So I better come back quickly. Welcome back to Doctor's Round, and we have here Dr. Okori, the Executive Secretary of Health Reform Foundation of Nigeria. He's been talking about reforms. He has given us the background to the healthcare system, and we're now going to go to what we need to do to improve performance. He's talking about the function of his organization and what can we do as Nigerians in private and public sector. So, Dr. Okori, how can the performance of the Nigerian health system be improved? How?
I will say that the performance can be improved a lot if we have the political will to implement fully the National Health Act 2014. The purpose of that law, just like I was saying, is quite comprehensive. One is to address lack of resources, that we provide them on the healthcare system. And then we are talking about the basic healthcare provision fund, just like I explained. So healthcare financing, how to improve healthcare financing is there. The government could improve it from 1% to 2% or even more. That's number one. Number two, the funding, of course, comes from, we are looking at improving the funding from the basic healthcare provision fund. There's also the donors, foreign donors, and then other sources. Now, other sources, because certainly the bane of healthcare, the health system in Nigeria is poor resources. Very poor financing is a major problem with the healthcare system in Nigeria. Now, one of the kind of reforms I would like to see is a system where the healthcare system is funded through maybe something like the VAT. VAT administration, you could take just 2.5% of the VAT, you know,
and the tax.
Yes, as a consumption tax. You know, consumption tax. This could raise 500 billion naira locally here. That could at least 500 billion naira, together with this basic healthcare provision fund. You know, we can now have a resource base that you can use to address the Nigerian healthcare system. If you look at the NHS, that's the British healthcare system, their budget is above 100 billion pounds annually on the average, above 100 billion pounds. That is many times even our own national budget. You know, so if we have to spend money, if we want to improve our healthcare system, then we should be willing to spend money. We should be willing to mobilize resources. This is very, very, very important. That's number one. Then other aspects of the National Health Act, apart from the money aspect, which is the Basic Healthcare Provision Fund, other aspects like classification, categorization and classification of healthcare providers. All the hospitals in Nigeria, including private hospitals and government hospitals, should be categorized and classified to be able to define the services they can provide. Just like you categorize a hotel, 5-star hotel, 2-star, 1-star, we can categorize private hospitals, government hospitals, according to the quality of care or the services they can provide. So that if you are going to a facility, you know the kind of facility you are going to.
Are you talking about specialization? Because you already categorize them. You talk about primary, secondary level, and tertiary level. That's a classification.
No. We are talking about you have a private hospital in Lagos.
Right. Hmm?
Mm-hmm. That private hospital, we should say, this private hospital is category 2,
okay,
or category 7 or 5. Okay. That is, this is the services it can provide. If you go to any hospital, you know clearly where you're going to, quality of services you can get from that hospital. Okay. And by law, they are mandated to provide that service. The other aspect is, in Nigeria, when people have road traffic accidents, you know, and then they take you to any hospital, you know, you are rejected. And also if armed robbers, there's a gunshot injury and they are taken to any hospital, you are rejected until you produce or provide police report. This National Health Act addresses and makes it a criminal offense to reject anybody who has an accident based on lack of money or expecting police reports, you know. And then there are other aspects that has to do with regulations of using human parts for research and all these genetic studies and all that. So the act is quite comprehensive, but most important is that it can provide funding that we can use to have to move on the path towards achieving this universal health coverage, which means that if you are sick, you can go to a hospital and receive treatment without paying out of pocket, without, just like it is in most developed countries, through the National Health Insurance Scheme. You know, this act is supposed to provide funding that is supposed to develop this national health insurance scheme, where it will have what we call universal coverage for everybody.
Fascinating, you're talking about that. You're talking about funds being made available. But it's one thing for funds to be made available. It's a different matter entirely to cover the leakages. The story you hear about these policies and the healthcare delivery in Nigeria is that there's a lot of policies in government hospital. there are indications where people are taken to the hospital from the x-ray department to that department. There's leakages. You're paying money from here. I wonder if you have any suggestion on how to address those leakages in healthcare service. Has national health insurance, has that gotten any role to play in this?
Yes, of course. The national health insurance scheme, if they accredite hospitals across that meet minimum criteria for accreditation before you can be a service provider. And they have monitoring units that ensure that every patient that comes to those hospitals get the service which they deserve, and that the money is actually spent specifically for the management of their sickness. There is no doubt that the Nigerian system is difficult to contain in terms of management of finances and corruption and all that. But again, one of the reforms that we should be heading to, which in my opinion is most government hospitals, government public, I use the word public hospitals, we should be thinking about public-private partnership system for running them. The simple reason being that if they are run as public-private partnership hospitals, it cuts down drastically the corruption and again improves service delivery, because even it is private sector driven and no longer driven by the government per se. Because government is never a good business manager. So if, for example, all our tertiary institutions, in my opinion, all our tertiary institutions are run on public-private partnership basis, not necessarily as profit centers, for profit organizations, but purely to provide it to improve service delivery and reduce corruption in the management of resources, and improve a lot of, what I call our ability to take care of our people, without them. There are models that have been established worldwide which prove that if government takes away their hand from, controlling these hospitals, that they get the function better.
You're absolutely correct. I work in one of the first private public psychiatric hospital, 3P hospital in Canada. And actually, over the past, we've been in that situation, 3P, for about 10 years now. And we have seen a lot of changes in terms of public-private partnership. And I remember one of the governors, I will keep the name off air, who visited, and we had a big powwow, and we talk about the advantages of that. But you are absolutely correct. When people are made accountable, and I think you're touching on something very important, that if we have a public-private partnership operation, we're likely to reduce the leakages, because that's a big problem, leakages. And we have a hospital somewhere in Abuja that there was something that is similar to that, and that hospital is functioning today in terms of the improvements. You're touching on a very important point here. Before I let you go, can you tell us about universal health coverage? What is that about?
Yes, when you are talking about universal health coverage, I would like to talk about financial risk protection. That's the key component.
What's that?
That means that when somebody is sick, you can go to your healthcare provider and assess treatment. You can be treated without spending out of pocket. That means that there is a health insurance scheme in place for everybody, universal health scheme for everybody, health insurance scheme, so that money can no longer be a hindrance to accessing healthcare services. Actually, the goal, this is the goal of our health system now, of the National Health Act, is to have a system where if you are sick, you are financially protected. You can go to your provider, healthcare provider, and say, and once you go there, they will treat you without your having to spend out of pocket.
Who pays for it? LJ Daddy, his sister is in the village. With the insurance, can you break it down? Who pays for such a service?
Right now, I will tell you that with the basic health care provision fund, you know, which is 1% of our consolidated revenue, it is in every public medical center, public hospital across the whole country. Women, pregnant women, you know, for antenatal services, children under the age of 5, elderly patients above 65 years and above, and then disabled people, citizens in Nigeria, you can go and access medical care without paying for it. Yes. When you go and you go to any of these centers and you are in this category of vulnerable Nigerians, the Basic Healthcare Provision Fund covers it, yes. So we have started. Okay. A journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. We have started the journey with the vulnerable population, and we want to move and keep improving until eventually everybody is covered. I believe that most Nigerians are vulnerable in the sense that people really don't have money to. And of course, you know that if somebody has a catastrophic health condition, a typical example is cancer, kidney, and maybe very serious road traffic accident or something, that is always the largest cause of bankruptcy in any society, because you pay all the money, sell all your properties, sell all you have, you know, all your assets to access healthcare. It's not supposed to be that way. You know, you're supposed to have an insurance scheme that should protect you.
I'm just getting dizzy as you explain this to me. A lot of people are going to India, and they go to India, they have terminal cancer or they have some stages of cancer. They go to India, they come back home anyways to die. And you're saying that if you had cancer or you have some critical illnesses, I could walk into the hospital in Nigeria and get treatment. Is that what is happening?
No. For now, I must admit, maybe you're talking about medical tourism, very serious problem in Nigeria. Those who can afford treatment because of the poor facilities, you know, lack of facilities, poor infrastructure, particularly in our tertiary healthcare hospitals. There's poor medical infrastructure. So most people who are sick, who can afford to treat themselves outside the country, they go out. And this is taken from the Nigerian economy, about $1.3 billion every year. So what we are saying here is that for coverage now, the Nigerian health insurance scheme cannot cover these catastrophic sicknesses, but they can cover for the vulnerable population, for pregnant women, for children under the age of 5, for the elderly above 65 years, and for disabled citizens. That's what we are able to cover now. But gradually, they can start covering all these catastrophic sicknesses, you know, and that, of course, the way it is done outside this country, in advanced countries.
Fascinating. You're still listening to Doctor's Round on Spirit of Nigeria Radio and our sister radio in Ibadan. We have a few more minutes to go. and the people in Ibadan will want to hear from you on live radio on what to do if they were to have mental health concern or, psychiatrist. So I say mental health concern. And in fact, if you have mental health concern, how does the current policy address the man in Maliti, his health needs? How does he address that? And what are the recourse in case the act is not implemented? Anything to do?
Yeah, well, the fact is that, just like I said, the policy framework is driven by at the federal level and implemented at the states and local governments. And right now, there is coverage for the very, very vulnerable members of our society if they know how to assess care.
How? How do you access the care?
Of course, most of the money, about 50% of this basic healthcare provision fund, is disbursed through the National Health Insurance Scheme. So it is important for the individual to go and register in the healthcare provider in the NHIS scheme. And once you register and you are vulnerable, you are in this category, you are covered.
Okay.
If you are sick, you go and you receive treatment.
Before I let you go, we're still in the pandemic. How does the current policy, healthcare delivery policy framework, how has it responded to COVID-19?
Yeah, well, I'll put it this way. Our national health system has been a little bit resilient. You can look at the impact of COVID-19 on most healthcare systems. It disrupted entire health systems in most countries. Nigeria is one of the few countries that has honestly received praise for how we have managed the COVID-19 pandemic in terms of the NCDC, and all the other protocols that are needed to manage the COVID-19 pandemic. I think the implementation at the federal, at the state, and the local governments has been quite, they have done very well, and then somehow we have managed to contain the pandemic without, completely ruining our entire health system.
You're absolutely correct. We have a National Health Act. It is wanting to have an act. It is a different matter to implement the act. We have a long way to go. That's what I'm taking away from you today in the implementation of the act. But at least that is a step forward. The mental health bill has been passing through this country for several decades. We have, over the past 2 to 3 decades, been working on the mental health bill. The National Assembly has done very well. Before I go tonight, I hope that somebody can call on Buhari to sign the Mental Health Act bill into law. There are a lot of people dying. There are a lot of people who are committing suicide. In a country where when you commit or you attempt suicide, you are being termed a criminal. It's not acceptable. I hope this message gets to somebody in Asoro. And I hope that they will sign that bill into law. And I hope it will not die on the table of the president. Even if you have it, there's a need for implementation, just like we've heard. It took us 10 years to have the National Health Act, and it's taking us several times to implement it. Anyway, I will stop at this. But I'd like to thank you on behalf of all the listeners, Dr. Okorie, for coming on the program. And I hope we'll see you again. On behalf of the listener, I also like to thank the studio team and the editorial board. That was Doctor's Run. I will see you again next week. My name is A.G. Ahmed. Have a great week ahead. Thank you.
Thank you.
of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.